Radio Reverb. Brighton Festivals now. All of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival with Melissa Dennett and Rebecca Sandals. On Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
You listen to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on DAB and online at radioreverb.com. I'm Melissa Dennett. This is Brighton's final festival programme. We've been here daily during the festival, 5 to 6pm, repeated at 10pm and 9am the next day. And although this might be our final Brighton Festival show of 2019, we're still looking behind the scenes, meeting some of the performers, creators and the people who make it happen.
Hello, I'm Rebecca Sandals, and today we're hearing about a dance piece which questions notions of masculinity.
We'll be finding out about how ancient and modern Taiwanese culture, dance and music come together.
Meeting a children's writer who uses literature to explore war.
And celebrating community, youth and belonging in a dance celebration by the seaside.
All that and more in the next hour here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM.
Really sad that this is our last Brighton Festival show of 2019. It's been a really top-notch year, I think. I've really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And I think why I particularly enjoyed it is because I didn't necessarily know how it was going to go.
Yeah.
And it's been lots of discovery, which is exact, and lots of the stories, and exactly what Rokia, the guest director, would have wanted, us hearing some stories we might not have heard before. And it's, yeah, it's been a fabulous 3 weeks.
It's been a cracker, but there is still stacks to come. This show is a bit kind of dance oriented because the festival programme, which is just kind of, you know, the way it works out, have got an action-packed dance weekend.
It's the bank holiday.
It's bank holiday.
Dance.
Yeah. So yeah, we're gonna dance our way into the bank holiday. And Boys by the Pappy Show is a celebration of manhood through dance and movement. It takes a group of young men of colour and challenges received notions of masculinity. It's a joyful and tender dance that hopes to unravel preconceptions and uncover the endless possibilities that can make up a man. It's taken place Saturday and Sunday at the Old Market in Hove, and I met up with two of the boys team, Kwame and Comron, to find out what to expect.
Well, it's time to start the show. Lost my heart and lost my soul. Not giving in.
Boys is a celebration of manhood, but also the main thing it does is explores the sides of masculinity that we don't often see presented in mainstream media or on stage. So the sort of the vulnerability, the silliness, the closeness, and it's particularly because we're a cast of all men of colour, particularly challenging the sort of image that men of colour have of sort of toughness or hyper-masculinity, and showing how connected, how close, how loving we can be.
Yeah, I think it really gives that like us permission and licence to showcase sides of ourselves that perhaps at times men don't feel the liberty to do so. And by being men of colour, we very much celebrate the journeys that our family have made from their respective place of origin to where we've come to today. The majority of us live in and around London, and we want to kind of, I guess, celebrate the fact that London, as like as many other cities, is very multicultural, and it represents something far better and bigger than just the United Kingdom. So we celebrate who we are and what we are, and I guess our makeup as well.
So what inspired you to get involved? Were you dancers before?
We're not dancers.
Okay.
Pappy Show is kind of a type of physical theatre that often we use dance in the forms, but none of us, bar one, I think, are actually trained as dancers. We're all sort of primarily actors who use physical gesture to tell stories.
Yeah.
The Pappy Show started as a way of bringing actors together to train in physical theatre, actors who weren't necessarily dancers but wanted to use their bodies to tell stories. And we've been interested, or Kane, the AD's artist director, has been interested in gender for a long time. So we made pieces sort of trying to explore gender in a way that feels like we're adding to the conversation, but not just treading along the same sort of ground that's been trodden before.
Quite a lot of my key moments as being a man have been amongst like this work, and it's very much helped me identify what it means to be a man. I mean, very much in the same vein, the Pappy Show works in a very playful way. Mm. And like music and dance is a way of like expressing joy and having fun. And so it is kind of very close to what we do. Even on our warm-ups and the games we play, we've always got some tunes banging on. But like none of us are kind of put together because we're good movers, and no one should ever feel like you have to be a good mover to ever kind of invest into our work. We run workshops that open to the public, and everyone, a lot of friends, like, I really want to come, but like, I'm not very good at moving. I'm like, it doesn't matter.
You're the perfect person.
Exactly. Like, just come have fun with us.
Yeah.
Have a dance, listen to some songs, let's play some games, and we'll make some theatre and we've done all that first.
Yeah. In the show, we are ourselves. We're not putting on sort of characters. We're not pretending to be other people. So when people come see the show, they meet us.
Yeah.
And in a way, if we were all sort of all beautiful movers who could make incredible shapes, then there's not the same connection, because you don't see, oh, you're just a person who is showing who they are, who's revealing themselves. You feel like there's some kind of, oh, I can't do that, I don't know that.
Yeah.
And so seeing someone who can't dance, who can't sing, dance because they just love doing it, is so beautiful.
You kind of touched on this there, because there is something about dance as an art form which is very exposing.
Yeah.
So if you're singing, you can create a persona with your songs, but yeah, with dancing, it's you, it's your body, it's your physicality. I mean, was that a bit of a barrier for you to overcome, to feel exposed like that?
Do you know what? Given the way the company is, it's such a playful, like, to make a mistake is almost celebrated. Like, you feel oh, so yeah, you feel so safe that when the work was actually getting made, it didn't feel at all weird, or like there's no level of discomfort. Until, like, I remember when we opened the show and we'd done it, and like we had such a warm response from the audience. We're like, oh my god, like, I've just been myself on stage for an hour, and sides of myself which some of the closest people to my life, full stop, have never seen of me. And to have the warm response, it only encouraged me more to show myself that way. And like what Kwame touched upon, we don't play characters. And one of the first things we actually do, we introduce ourselves, we say our name to you, our actual name. And I think it's very rare for an audience to come see a piece of theatre where they're not trying to invest into another world. Like, they're getting to know us as actors, not mm-hmm. the characters we're playing in a traditional play, for example.
Mm. Just to jump off what you said about mistakes being celebrated, often the way we work, the mistakes are where the really exciting things happen.
Yeah.
We're playing like a game and we're trying to all do it really well, and someone fails in a very particular way. That's when you learn exactly who they are. If they've misunderstood something because for some reason they always hear something the wrong way, or they can't quite make the jump, or can't quite make a move work, that's what's really lovely.
Or just like, we play a lot of ball games, and so there's one called like Pat Pat, and like the rules are, we know the rules, but they're slightly loose, and like it's up to interpretation. So if you're the perpetrator of like doing like a questionable move, the
argue
level of stubbornness that you, you know, yeah, like you put up the barrier, you put up the guard.
It's
you're
almost
like,
it's almost
I
like
will
both
not
sides,
be wrong.
Both sides have like attorneys.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
arguing to a judge.
There's debates. Like, are you on my side or not? Are you on my side? And it's through that stubbornness we're like, we want to encapsulate in this moment in the show the level of stubbornness we kind of get to, mm-hmm. or the level of debate we get to, or like the testosterone that might come out in that moment. We're trying to capture that. And that can only happen if we're playing games and someone has made a mistake.
For us, we've managed to find a way in which we know that we all love and care for each other, and we want the best for each other. So we can spend 5 minutes shouting about whether or not the ball hitting your chest counts as one of the two touches that you allowed, which happened last night.
Yes, very much last night.
You have a massive argument, but it's all just hilarious because it's that kind of passion for what we're doing that we then go, but it goes so far. And actually, we're here to, like, enjoy this. And so we'll just move on with the game. And if I'm out, I'm annoyed about it because I wanted to win. But we create a good game by all wanting to win, but then accepting that we can't all win and it doesn't actually matter. So we've had fun. And that's what you get on stage.
It sounds like the kind of experience where you would learn a lot about yourselves and about your relationships with other people to take into the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Like, we, every time we get together, not just as a company of boys, but anything Pappy Show does, we always start with a check-in. And the questions, they vary, but it's very much a little glimpse into how you're feeling that day. So we're always like, how you're feeling. And the question could be, like, for example, what do we do today at the school?
Favourite toy from when you were younger.
Yeah. And just, like, that little bit of information, just sharing that with a group of people and us learning about that, you're already learning about something, about someone. Something that you perhaps would never expect to learn before you enter the room. And you do learn about yourself, you know, because the way everyone is telling stories that are truthful and it's happened to them, you're like, yeah, I understand that. And just having the conversation perhaps unlocks something in your brain that you never perhaps have connected with. I know that's definitely happened for me, where we've had discussions about various things and it's just clarified something in my mind. I'm like, ah, that's what it is.
Mm. We had a conversation about our relationships with our fathers
this
week. And what was beautiful about it is, like, we all all came, we all have very different, very specific relationships with our fathers, both negative, positive, all the sort of ranges in between. But in hearing someone else's story, you learn things about your own relationship with your own father, because even if it's like, oh, I don't have that, or I do have that, or they've got this thing going on that I don't, you then go, okay, so mine and my father's relationship is a situation where we don't have that, or we do this. And I think in just talking and doing that check-in, we're already breaking down one of the main barriers that I think society has kind of woken up to amongst men, is that men don't talk.
Yeah.
And to sort of get into a room where the first thing we do is share something about ourselves, even not necessarily the most deepest intimate way, just it could be like, if I was a fruit, what fruit would I be today? Just doing, starting from that place, the place where we just share something about ourselves, is really lovely.
You know, it's no competition, like, I want to tell the deepest, like, rendition of what my childhood. It's not about that. If someone's got the confidence and they feel comfortable enough to do it, they do it. And by doing that, it may inspire someone else in the room to do it. And in a way, that's what we're hoping to do with the show as well. If we can be silly, fun, tender, care on stage, hopefully some other men in the audience, women included, anyone, any gender, maybe we inspire them to do the same. We really wanted to make sure that the audience very much go on a journey with us, but they finish feeling joyful.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to, like, change narrative of this conversation. We're just saying, like, here's our contribution.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that along with this, like, wide narrative, there is elements of joy, there is elements of, like, laughing and, like, all of the important things to maintain happiness and positivity. We have a great time on stage, and through that we get closer together as a group, we look after one another, and I think that's very visible.
If you come to the show, you will love it. I promise you will have a great time.
That was Kwame and Comron from Boys by the Pappy Show, and that's Saturday and Sunday, 7:30 p.m. at the Old Market in Hove, and there's a Sunday matinee at 2:30 p.m. They sound lovely, Melita.
They were fantastic. I mean, they were a great double act as well, because you can really hear the rapport between the two of them. And to me, you know, just hearing them talking about how men don't talk about their feelings, and hearing them talk about their feelings, it sounds so refreshing. It shouldn't be refreshing. You know, it should be something that happens all the time. But I was really knocked out by the sounds of that, and it looks absolutely amazing. And there are videos online of Boys by the Pappy Show as well, so do go and check it out. So two nights only, Saturday and Sunday. It's got a Sunday matinee, and I think this could be one of those shows that people go on the first night and they just say to everyone, you must go.
Well, it's a rare chance to see a celebration of manhood on the stage.
Absolutely, yeah. And obviously, you know, young black men or men of colour get a really bad press, so shattering some of those preconceptions I think is really, really important. So that sounds terrific. So Boys by the Pappy Show, go and check that out. The Brighton Festival website is the place to find out information and your tickets, brightonfestival.org. And this track here, I just kind of put in coincidentally, actually, and Rebecca said, oh, I saw what you did there, and it wasn't deliberate at all. It's called Father's Son. It's by Celeste, and she's going to be supporting Nona Cherry at the Dome on Saturday. And I did see Celeste live 3 or 4 weeks ago. She is a stunning artist. I think maybe she's only just been announced, because she's not in the programme anywhere that she's playing.
Yeah, but I looked up earlier, I looked online to see who was supporting Nona Cherry, and it didn't say anything, so that's hot off the press as
that
far as I
can
see.
That is hot off
the
press. There you go. You heard it on Radio Reverb first. So do check this out. If you're heading over to see Nona Cherry, or you're thinking about it, there are still tickets available. This is Celeste and Father's Son. That is a taster of what to expect on Saturday, when Nona Cherry appears at the Dome. That is the support act. It's former Brighton gal Celeste. The track is Father's Son. I saw her live about 3-4 weeks ago. She was really good. She is going to be an amazing new talent. So catch her first. And you can say, yeah, I saw her at Brighton Dome supporting Nona Cherry. So Nona Cherry, in that voice, in that precise voice. So Nona Cherry, Saturday at the Dome, 8 p.m. She's sharing her new album, Broken Politics. It's going to be a really, really cracking night. Still tickets available for that. So, you know, rock up to the Brighton Festival website, brightonfestival.org, to pick that up. And Rebecca, we have been out to see two different things last night.
Yeah.
You
we
went to see Berlin, who are very confusingly Belgian, doing True Copy at the Attenborough Centre, and I went to see Salome with a live soundtrack by Circuit des Yeux at the Old Market. I'm going to let you go first. Surprisingly generous.
Thank you. That's very kind of you, Melita. Well, I was expecting to like this because it's Berlin and I've loved the stuff they've brought to Brighton Festival before. Mm-hmm. And I did like it. Not a 5 out of 5. I'm giving it a 4 out of 5. It started slowly, that's why. So there was a moment where it's like, well, where are you going now? And then, all the sort of trickery of the effects of... Basically, the set was lots of frames with paintings in. And those then slowly became the images, TV reports, other pictures appearing and things like that.
Okay, because they're big on their multimedia. When I've seen their previous appearances, they've done really unusual multimedia things with video screens and like people talking to video screens and
so
characters on them.
It's the story of the master forger. Mm-hmm. And the master forger is on stage being interviewed about what has occurred.
And is the real guy?
You have
allegedly
to go and see
okay.
Who knows what's real. I the real Rebecca Sandals?
Oh my gosh.
But it's a fascinating exploration of the whole sort of dynamic and the trickery that goes on in the art industry, and how much might be real, how much might be forgeries, and the conscious or unconscious collusion between the big art houses and the forgeries that are out there knocking around. And I mean, you know, they give away a Picasso to a member of the audience, and I use a Picasso apostrophe. Is it? No, it's not a Picasso. But he said as soon as it leaves the room, it's got it signed, it might as well be in a Picasso. Who knows?
So were there any kind of analogies to, we're always hearing about fake news. I mean, was it specifically about art, or did it ask why questions about what we take on face value and what we also do value, because it's got a celebrity tagged onto it?
Yeah, I mean, it questions all of our perceptions of what is worth money. Mm-hmm. What and how do we judge, and who has actually put a price tag on it, and why are we prepared to pay it, and what it, you know, and also in further stuff, the whole fake news. So is this real, is this not real? So what is reality? So okay. It was a great evening. I thoroughly recommend it. And I think it's running till Sunday at the Attenborough Centre at 8 p.m. That's Berlin's True Copy.
And how busy was it?
It was quite busy, yeah. It's the busiest I've seen it there as far as punters.
Okay.
I had to wait quite a while to get a cup of coffee when
I
arrived. I know.
Dear, we know. Okay. Dear, these little things in life that are sent to try us. I went to see Salome last night.
Go on, how was it? Was it campus, whatever?
It was camp as knickers, as I expected. It's a 1923 silent film, obviously, with a live soundtrack by Circuit des Yeux, who had double bass, which is beautiful, violin, electronics, and she sings in a very Nico-esque way, so she's got a really deep and kind of doomy voice. I mean, the film itself was amazing. So the rumour is that the cast were all queer performers, and some of them were so gay looking. It's hilarious. Alan Nazimova, who's the main character who plays Salome, did a lot of eye acting. There was lots and lots of eye acting happening in it, and lots of kind of standing around throwing shapes and just kind of holding the pose. It was quite slow moving in terms of, you know, the drama wasn't fast paced. The sets were amazing, and the costumes were incredible, because they were based around Aubrey Beardsley's illustrations for the original Oscar Wilde text of Salome. So absolutely incredible costumes, like these women who came on in these enormous capes and surrounded Salome while she then did the Dance of the Seven Veils.
So you asked me about the house up at the Attenborough Centre. How many people were watching the movies?
Oh, it was busy. It was really busy. I was quite surprised, actually, because it's quite a specialist thing. What? I was trying to figure out who the audience was. Because I knew some people there who go and see LGBTQ stuff, and I knew some people there who are film buffs, and there were kind of a lot of people in between. I was intrigued to know what had drawn them there.
Well, the great thing is that despite the fact that there seems to be lots of shows and performances up against each other this week, there's still an audience out there coming along. Great.
Which is great, which is fantastic, yeah. Should we take a look at some of the things that are coming up?
That we could well do that. Should we start with Midsummer Night's Dream, a reminder about Puck and Bottom?
Yeah, you just wanted to say Bottom again, didn't you?
No, I didn't. It was just to remind myself what I'm talking about. The Lord Chamberlain's Men, back at Brighton Festival with an open-air performance of Shakespeare's magic film Sheffield comedy A Midsummer Night's Dream at 6:30 this evening, and Saturday at 1:30 and 6:30 p.m. and that's at St Nicholas's Rest Gardens, which is at the south end of Dyke Road.
And you had a chat with them on yesterday's programme, which you will find floating around the ether as a podcast. This one's also floating around the ether. Spy Monkey celebrate their 20th anniversary with their trademark farce and physical comedy. You can catch the show, which made them an international comedy sensation. It's called Cooped. It's getting wow reviews. It's tonight and Saturday, 7:30, and then Sunday at 2:30 at the Pavilion Theatre in Worthing.
Shall we do one more?
Let's do one more.
Let's mention Silence again then. It's the plight of wartime refugees brought home in a spectacle of light and sound at the perfectly bleak Black Rock. That's tonight, 8:30 p.m. and 10 p.m. I think I checked earlier, and the earlier show, the 8:30 p.m., was sold out.
Oh, I think they released some more tickets actually.
I think it sold out after they released tickets. But in any case, get in quick for tickets, because I think they are starting to move. It is a dark piece. It does take you into the experience of people in a time of war, but it's great. I love it. I loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Well worth seeing tonight and Saturday, 8:30 p.m. and 10 p.m. Grab your tickets. Don't wait around for that one.
And on your recommendation, I am going tonight. Something else we're going to go and see tonight is Vahung. It's a piece by Taiwanese dance troupe Timur Dance Theatre. Vahung's English title is Heart to Heart, and explores opening up yourself and bringing personal feelings to the surface. It melds the culture, dance and music of the indigenous Taiwanese people, the Paiwan. I didn't know they were called that either. With contemporary dance. Vahung's on at Theatre Royal tonight, Friday and tomorrow. Well, earlier today I went to meet choreographer Balu Madeline and artistic director Lumzen Madeline, with help from translator Eileng Kazanil Yan, to find out how traditional and modern sit together.
We come from Taiwan, and in Falun, actually the Falun's meaning is our hearts that express our feeling. And that's our director saying, Falun means very inner, very deeply bottom of heart feeling. The dancer want to express their feeling bottom of their hearts.
So tell me about the style of dance in Vahung. How does this mix contemporary dance with traditional Taiwanese dance?
Dimor dance, then we have a very unique system of our Taiwan contemporary movement. We want to do something contemporary dance, so we use our traditional Taiwan culture and we to develop the Taiwan contemporary dance movement. And we have a system teaching, so this is why we to show the world, and we develop some movement called Taiwan Contemporary Movements.
在这个作品里面，其实我就那时候一直在思考。
It's related to our Taiwan culture, is related to our Taiwan daily life, and I think that's why we make the contemporary dance and with our Taiwan culture and the daily life. Like when we are born, it can be a baby crab, and it will wrap our food, and later when we pass away, and then can wrap the body and go to the bury the body. And about the three elemental movement, and the first one is a card shaojunjie, right? That card shaojunjie, like we open your heart to find, to look up the secrets in bottom of your heart. And the second one is peel the layer and layer. That's our dig deeper and deeper your heart to find out your secrets. And but in the end, it make the shaojunjie into a circle, and that's me. Actually, when we talk about something secret, we will modify something statement, and maybe you won't just say it when you close and you go back to the original one, and in the end you didn't say anything.
So it looks very physically demanding, mm-hmm, for the performers. Tell me more about what it is like for the dancers.
It spent 8 hours to do their daily chain, and 1.5 hour we'll do our Taiwan contemporary dance training. And from the beginning, they were singing our traditional ballad, and then try to move our Taiwan contemporary movements, and then they would do their daily training. Because we just live in the mountain, our studio just in the mountain, and that's a very important part for our group. And actually, we are not only want them be a professional dancer, we want to feel the real Taiwan culture. So our director and a choreographer will bring them to join any big one or small one ceremony and tell them you need to feel it, and most important, you need to know how to sing our traditional song. So that's very important nutrition for us. And there's a little very funny story that there's one part that dancer will need to act like they are drunk, because they ask the what do you think, who is the most honest people in this world? Then think maybe it's the person they drunk. Yes, so then okay, just do it, and then dance and then feel that no, you didn't feel you like a drunk. So Balu and took them to our karaoke in our village, and then just drink, and when then get something tipsy, and okay, stop. We go back to our studio, and we dance. And Balu said, "Yes, that's right. That's that feeling." So actually, our training not only want them be a very professional one. We want them really feel and do our Taiwan culture, be Taiwanese. Yes.
Be Taiwanese, yes. That's Vahun choreographer Balu Madeline, artistic director Luzem Madeline, with help from translator Ailing Kazanil Yan. Vahun's on for two nights only. Vahun at Friday and Saturday at 8, with a Saturday matinee at 2. And that's what you call method acting, isn't it? If you want to play drunk, what you do, you leave your dance studio, you go to the karaoke bar, you have a couple of drinks, and it's like, perfect. Now you can go back and dance drunk.
That explains all those people doing karaoke in Brighton. They're actually dancers getting into the right zone to perform. You're listening to the Brighton Festival show on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM DAB and online with me, Rebecca Sandals, and Melita Dennett.
And let us turn the clock back. Gonzalez came and performed at Brighton Dome midway through the festival. This is his collaboration with Daft Punk, which won him loads and loads and loads of awards. It's called Within. That's nice and chilled out, isn't it? That's Gonzalez with Daft Punk and Within. Gonzalez, of course, appeared as part of the Brighton Festival 2019. You're listening to the Radio Reverb Brighton Festival show with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals, drawing gracefully to a close, if ever we can be graceful, of this year's season of Brighton Festival shows here on Radio Reverb. It's local radio day, but of course every day is local radio day as far as we're concerned here on Radio Reverb. We have had a fantastic Brighton Festival, and I hope that we've given you some insights into some of the shows in the festival and help you to make your mind up about whether you want to see something. So I know what it's like. We look at the programme, don't we, Rebecca, every year, and we're like, okay, not sure. So it's given us a real insight as well into what's happening.
Yeah, and I think one of the things I've learned this year in particular is don't rush through reading it. Read it again. And if you're really not sure about something, then just, you know, Google, other search engines are available, and you will find views and opinions on that which will really help assess whether that's something you're going to want to get in the diary and plan to be seeing.
Sure.
Because I think this year there was lots of stuff, and even Vahun tonight that we're going to see, Taiwanese dance, I think, you know, you have to do a little bit of research and think, is this going to be for me? And it can really pay off.
Yep, absolutely. And we always say take a chance.
Now, Played Twice returned to Brighton Festival last night. And it's a simple concept. Take a landmark album, listen to it all the way through, then get together a group of accomplished musicians to reinterpret the recording live on stage. Last night, David Okumu led a band as they reinterpreted the Bill Evans Trio classic jazz album Sunday at the Village Vanguard. And Mark Johnson was there, and now he's here.
Hey.
Mark.
How you doing?
I'm all right. Sunday at the Village Vanguard.
Yeah.
How was it?
It's a great album. It's a really strange concept, going into a massive venue, a church, the All Saints Church.
That's
a big place.
Right.
And then the whole audience just sitting there together quietly and just listening to an album. It sounds so simple and it sounds a bit weird, but it is very intimate, actually, because you are all concentrating. Nobody was talking. Everyone's really concentrating. And I haven't heard this album all the way through. I've heard bits of it. And it's a great album. Yeah.
And that kind of deep listening experience is something that we rarely do. I think I used to do it much more when I was younger. You know, you lock yourself in the bedroom with the lights out, you know, and you stick Joy Division on repeat until you've learned every single last note and bit of Breaking Glass from it. But I find I tend to listen to albums now kind of much more backgroundy, and it's a real joy to sit there, do nothing, turn the lights down and listen to a record and hear all those nuances. So it's a great idea.
And we actually consume music differently. I think we do consume music sometimes and not listen to it properly.
Yeah, but who listens to albums now? I mean, to start with, you know, like people download songs, and it's individual songs based on a YouTube video.
And playlists and things. So this was a great thing. And this album, Sunday at the Village Vanguard, is supposedly one of the greatest live jazz trio albums of all time, or it's been nominated many, many times, and it is a really great album. And when you think it was made in 1961, it's a great album. You hear people in the background because it's quite of a rough recording, and in between each track they clap, but in the audience we weren't allowed to clap, or nobody clapped, which is another, because I wanted to clap, so I thought, yeah, this is great. But
you're doing it now.
I just did a little clap.
Making up for it.
So that was the album being replayed.
Yeah, it was played on vinyl, and the guy gets to the halfway mark, and the guy stands up and changes it over and plays it. You hear the needle.
What is this vinyl of which you speak?
Fantastic.
But what happened then when it was reinterpreted live?
Well, we had the fairly decent break, and then Dave Okumu with his band, four other members of the band, so this time around it wasn't a trio. And two of the members, a fantastic guitarist, Rob Luft, really excellent guitarist. And also Dave Smith, who's a drummer in Robert Plant's band, were there. And their reinterpretation, to be honest, it's not they're not covering it, it's a reinterpretation. So you couldn't really identify a lot of the elements. It was just they played one piece, which lasted about 45 minutes or so, 50 minutes I suppose. And it was great what they did, but it was completely different, to the point where I couldn't really identify the two.
Do you think it kind of lost its purpose then by doing that? Or was it just, you know, a joy to hear?
It was a joy
something
to hear.
There were
lots of little elements of the album that you could hear within it, but I just think it was just a great evening out, great celebration. And this concept is played out every week or every month in a club in London called the Four Corners Club. And I think, you know, not just jazz albums, but albums in general, if you can hear them this way, you know, go out and listen carefully to a classic album. I think it's a great thing.
I'm trying to think of what album. ABBA Arrival, maybe.
Well,
actually, the one that I recommend is Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, which you can sit down. That is one that I turn everything off for, and I just sit there and I just listen to that all the way through. Astonishing album. That's my recommendation.
Yeah.
Deep listening.
I like the Who's Quadrophenia for that. I like a bit of Quadrophenia.
Yeah, definitely. But no, yeah, it was a great evening. I really did enjoy it.
Fantastic. And also, you know, we're very interested to know as well how audiences are going, because obviously we've had 3 weeks of the festival, and Rebecca went to see True Copy last night, which was really busy. I went to see Salome, silent film with the soundtrack, which was really busy. A busy one last night?
Yeah, I mean, I think they could have got a few more in there. They may have been able to put out a few more rows of seats, but yeah, there was a good sized crowd, yeah.
And acoustically, did it work? Because I know you went to All Saints before.
I was going
to
say
to see ACCA Trio, and you were disappointed because you said the acoustics didn't work for that particular performance in there.
This time around, the sound was absolutely fantastic, and especially for the album, the sound was absolutely top of the shop, really was. But the band, they were great. Yeah, the sound's definitely improved. I don't know what happened that night, but it was great.
Okay, Mark Johnson, thank you very much for joining us on Radio Reverb.
Just looking forward to seeing Nina Cherry as well.
Yes, yes.
Good, great new album, so...
And she's not announced on the programme, but Celeste is supporting, who is a fantastic new singer. You come across her?
Yes, she was at Great Escape last week, wasn't she?
I think she may be, actually, yeah, she's brilliant. Yeah. I've already played her, so I'm not going to play her again, but yeah.
Great.
Yeah, so I'll see you there for both of them.
See you there.
This is Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. This is the Brighton Festival special show, our final one of 2019 with myself and Rebecca Sandals. Have a quick look to what's coming up this weekend. There's Our Place taking place. That's the Community Takeover Festival with in a festival. Our place comes to Hangleton Community Centre this Saturday. Go to the Brighton Festival website for details of the many, many, many free events there. That starts at 10 a.m. and runs right through to early evening.
There are children's authors at the Founders Room, three events tomorrow. A Jar of Pickles and a Pinch of Justice by Chitra Sounder, and she's reading live from that. And it's her prize-winning Trickster Tales from India. That's at 11 a.m. at the Founders Room. And Syrian writer Nadine Kadam is reading from her book Tomorrow, A Story from Syria, and there'll be fun-filled art activities as well. That's at 1 p.m. and Nadine will be joining us shortly here on Radio Reverb's festival show. The third event at 3 p.m. tomorrow at the Founders Room at the Dome, Nimesh the Adventurer, author Ranjit Singh, wows young readers with the tale of an adventure walk. And there is apparently limited availability for that one at 3 p.m. So if Ranjit Singh is one that you know your kids love, you better sort that out pretty quickly. Details, tickets for all those events at brightonfestival.org website.
That is the place to go. Moving on now, let us go to Naina Cherry on Saturday night. Take it from my new album, Broken Politics. This is Kong. Naina Cherry and Kong. Take it from her album, Broken Politics. Naina Cherry, Saturday night at Brighton Dome, bringing the festival to an almost close,
Well, we've only got about 15 minutes to go of this show, and it is the last show that we're doing on Brighton Festival ahead of the final weekend.
Till 2020.
Well, yeah, that's a year away, please.
Oh, yeah.
Shall we have a look back? What was your favourite three? You got a favourite three that you've seen, experienced?
I have a sneaking suspicion that Silence, which I'm going to see tonight, might be in my favourite three. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave a little kind of empty hole for my favourite three. Backbone was absolutely superb by the Australian dance group, acrobatics really, circus group, Gravity and Other Myths. So piled three high on each other's heads, walking across people's heads. I mean, incredible acts of physical strength, agility, power, and the amount of trust between those people. I always say, if you see something Australian on the bill on the Brighton Festival and it's some kind of physical circus acrobatics thing, go.
I'm glad you clarified that it was about physical circus, because otherwise you'd spend the whole month following Andrew Comben around, wouldn't you?
Well, apparently he is Australian, yes, but yeah. No, thank you for that. Absolutely superb. And, you know, the house at Brighton Dome absolutely loved it. So, Backbone was definitely a hit for me this year in the Brighton Festival.
Well, I'll give my 3-2-1 in reverse order.
Go on then, yeah.
Coming in at number three, I don't think you've even got to see this, Iron Men.
Oh, I haven't got to see it. It's got two more days to go.
Yeah.
Two more days to go.
So
thanks for reminding me. I'll go tomorrow.
It's the photos taken by the Malian photographer King Fototale Masasi of the iron workers at Bamako. And it's fabulous. And black and white photography. And it really, really moved me and reminded me why I love photography so much. That's my number three. Number two, right back at the start of the festival. I think it was the first Saturday I saw this. Flight from Vox Motors at the King Alfred Leisure Centre is shut on Thursday, I think was the last,
yeah,
or Wednesday.
Yeah, Flight is definitely my top, I think, my top of my unfilled three.
Tale of refugees told in a sort of by little models that come past you as you sit in a booth watching them and hear the story on your headphones. That's amazing.
A stunning way to tell a story. It was really like a graphic novel, and just the detail of those little models, the soundtrack you heard on your headphones, just the way you really engage with that story. And you wouldn't think that models and a soundtrack could actually be emotionally gripping, but it really was. And everyone who came out of that was like, wow. So I think that's going to be the big hit of this year's festival, Flight.
Now, and my surprise in at number one is
Silence. Thank you.
Yep, there you go. That was it. Silence. Yes. Right. Teatro Piero Broggiocci at Black Rock, which I didn't expect to love to the extent that I did. Very moving, emotional. And yeah, it went straight in at number one. And that didn't give me room for Dead Dog in a Suitcase, because I loved that as well.
See, I didn't get to see that. I interviewed them and it sounded fantastic.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping I can go and see them when they play in London. They've got a long run in London. So if you miss Dead Dog in a Suitcase, maybe go and check them out. Check them out in London. We've got time for a week squeezing a little bit more Brightony music. They are going to be playing at Glastonbury. They're one of my favourite Brighton bands. They're Kudu Blue and it's Mountain Song. That's Brighton's Kudu Blue, and we move on now to Session. It's a free outdoor dance piece running every evening through to Sunday. It's a collaboration between Bristol's Stillhouse Performance Company, Steppers Performing Arts Academy in Tottenham, and Musicians Empire Sound. It's an energetic, inspiring work celebrating community, youth and belonging. I spoke on the phone earlier to one of its creators, Stillhouse's Dan Canham. This is a really ambitious outdoor piece. Give me a flavour of what the passerby can expect from Session.
The company of dancers range between sort of 8 years old and 18, which makes it sound like a kind of youth piece, but the quality and the kind of commitment and the ferocity with which they dance is on par with anything you're likely to see from professionals, I'd say. And it's really about their spirit and their togetherness. It's a real celebration of live music and dancing together.
I like this quote from your company, which says, "Tonight we come together to look each other in the eye and dance. We have the time and we're making a space to call our own." I mean, it sounds like there's a challenge in there to both performer and viewer.
That's true. Yeah, I think it's an invitation to just sort of be together in that space. I'm really interested in the sort of power of dance to reveal something of ourselves to each other, you know. And so in that moment, the ideal is that we are using dance to be with each other and to sort of celebrate each other for who we are.
How have you seen the participants grow and develop both as dancers and as people as a result of being involved in Session?
I mean, they're an extraordinary group, Steppers, and they perform regularly. They sort of inhabit a kind of competitive street dancing world where they'll often go off to competitions around the country and then through Europe. So they're a really tight unit. They've never done anything like this, I think it's fair to say. And when we were making the show, we made the show last year, I think none of them could really kind of envisage what it was going to look like. You know, we've got audience on three sides. It's a totally different configuration. It's outdoors, very up close and intimate. And it's a full length piece, you know, which is very different to kind of short sets that you do to the front at competition. So watching them really grab it since we premiered it last year at Lift Festival in London has just been a real joy. And now to see them own it and to add little things and to really, I can see them enjoying doing it with each other more and more. It's just been a great experience, yeah.
Performing on the seafront at the I360 and making work designed for outside performance is very different to working in an auditorium. I mean, for starters, the audience are passing by, may not even realise you're there, and they may be just kind of dipping in and out of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best thing. I love that. I mean, I'm super interested in performance and dance in particular that can just appeal to anyone and anyone can access. And you don't need to have kind of special codes to go into big dance houses or anything like that. You know, you can just come along and appreciate it. So this is really the ideal space. I mean, we did it last night and it was incredible. There's just one point where it seemed like the kind of world stopped and the seagulls were kind of, there was a choreography of seagulls going on, you know, alongside the piece, and the sea is right there, and it's kind of the ideal spot for it. So absolutely love it. It's great.
That's Stillhouse's Dan Canham talking about Session. It's a free outdoor dance piece running on the beachfront by the I360 every evening, 8:30 tonight, Saturday and Sunday. I hope the weather holds for them. I really do hope it holds.
Now, we had been hoping that Nadine Kadan, the Syrian writer and illustrator, would be joining us in the studio. She's been a bit delayed. She might arrive at any moment, but basically we're about to finish. So,
Live radio, folks, that's what happens.
She's at the Founders Room tomorrow at 1 p.m. reading from her book Tomorrow. It's a poignant story of a brave young boy called Yazan, and it really is a sensitive look at the war in Syria from a small child's perspective, and I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic event, and it's unfortunate she couldn't make it in to talk about it.
That's the way it goes.
But let's look ahead at next year. What do we want from next year's festival? Mark, you're still here. Mark Johnson's
Indeed.
Still with us.
Indeed. What do I want from next year? Well, more of the same, really. I thought the live music was great. Really, you know, I wouldn't have naturally picked those choices.
Yeah.
But, so I feel, you know, really pleased that I've seen what I wouldn't otherwise have seen. So, yeah, it's been great.
I think one of the things for us that has recurred all the way through the festival this year is Rocio Traore's theme. Yeah. So storytelling, yeah, migration, histories, and like who tells your great stories. Yeah. So I think it's been a really, really good, yeah, good selection of artists this year.
And a great selection across all the strands, actually. I've noticed the literature strand, I thought, has been very strong with the, yeah, discussions and, yeah, debates that they've had. And we were lucky enough to have several guests from that particular strand coming into the studio to talk, you know, not just about their art, their book, but really about the issues that it involves. So lots of really interesting stuff. And, yeah, more of that next year.
And the diversity has been great as well.
Yeah, and her gig with the younger musicians from Mali was just fantastic. Yeah. I thought it was so, so charming. It was just really lovely. Really great.
Good stuff. I like to put my hat in the ring and say, not enough soundtracks to film this year for me. I like live soundtracks for film, and I'd like one of those every day, please. It's not much to ask, is it?
I like, I think The Moon at Queen's Park. I think having something that can bring a community together that's a big free event.
Yeah.
I know that's a difficult ask in the climate of arts funding, but I think let's have one of those next year as well, please.
Definitely.
Yeah, and more power to Our Place as well, because that started off in 2017 with Kate Tempest's influence, and it's taken on a life of its own, and that is a really important part of the Brighton & Hope
positive
community.
Positive legacy, yeah.
Definitely.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Do we have to stop now?
I think we might. I think we might have to say our goodbyes.
Well, quickly, can I just say to you guys, thank you very much for inviting me on and your great work.
Did you invite him?
No, I didn't. Who is he?
No. Lisa and Rebecca, you've done a great job.
Thank you.
It's a loving, isn't it? You've been listening to the final 2019 Brighton Festival special show with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM, DAB and online. Thank you to today's guests, Kwame and Comron, Dan Canham, Balu Madeline, Luziem Madeline, Eileng Kazanil Yan, and reporter Mark Johnson.
Well, that's it. She was Melita Dennett, and it was great, Melita, hanging out with you this month. Should we do it again next year?
Let's do it again in 2020.
Well, hopefully we'll be back the same time next year, and let's see what Brighton Festival brings us then.
Mark, you can come. Let's all go and have a pint, and then let's go out and see some festival stuff. I'm back on Thursday on Radio Reverb in my normal slot, Thursday 5 to 6 p.m. So I will see you next week. Rebecca will see you next year. So from me, Melita, and Mark, let's all say a bye.
Ciao.
Bye.
Playing you out with Slow Moving Clouds. They are playing tonight at the Old Market. I think it's sold out.